That would be Mr. Peterson, and Mr. Taylor and Ms. Towns, is that correct?
Yes,
it is, Your Honor.
Very good. And I have asked everyone to please make sure you sign in reference to these merit cases. You will find your documents on the table by the podium. We appreciate your cooperation. If the parties are ready, we'll be happy to hear your argument. And Mr. Peterson, do you desire to reserve any rebuttal time, sir?
I would like to reserve 5 minutes, Your Honor.
Very good. We'll be happy to do that. Thank you.
Court's ready.
Yes, sir. We're ready.
Good morning, Court. My name is Carlos Hutcherson. I represent Juanita Franklin, the appellant in this case. The appellant respectfully requests that the court reverse the termination of parental rights in this case. We are arguing that the court violated Ms. Franklin's due process rights. The facts of this case are essential to this case. Ms. Franklin, a single mother, first child, only child, goes to what you think is the responsible thing to do, goes to social services and says, "Hey, I'm having a tough time. I need some help. What, do y'all have any services for me?" She goes, and I went long on my facts in my brief because the facts are essential. She goes April 1st, I believe. They said, "No, we really don't have anything for you." The next day, they go to her house, four CPS agents. Talk to Ms. Franklin, convince her that it's in her best interest to allow them to take her child. They take her to the hospital, have her evaluated. Doctor says, "You're going to be fine. You're not going to harm yourself or anyone else." From that date on, her child's in care. This is April 1st of 2015. From that day, Ms. Franklin hadn't had her child back. The thought from social services was, well, she needs, something's not right with her. She needs medication. She needs something. She hadn't been prescribed anything. No doctor has put her on medication. Unless I'm unaware, you can't go to the pharmacy and say, "Hey, I need medication. Give me something." It doesn't work that way. She had a psychological evaluation that November, about 7 months after placement. That psychological evaluation said she has some issues. There's some intellectual issues. She has some anxiety, some things. Didn't prescribe her anything. Referred her out to services. She went to services, Horizon. Horizon says, "We don't have anything for you." She was given a parental coach, a individual counselor, kind of a combo person to work with. And those were the services she was given. Our argument is, and this is a issue of constitutional question, which is reviewed de novo. And in Virginia, there's a presumption that a child's best interests are served when in the custody of a parent. We argue that in this case, there were no reasonable and appropriate services provided Ms. Franklin. She was provided individual counseling, visitation with her child, and a psychological evaluation. That's what she was provided.
I hate to interrupt you. Let me just ask you a quick question in reference to your first son there. If I understand it correctly, it's in reference to the fact that she was not provided services for her autistic child. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Where is that preserved, that specific issue in reference to the services?
Well, we argued that she wasn't provided reasonable and appropriate services. It's a case-by-case factual determination. And in her case, the child was determined to be autistic in May of 2016, over 12 months after placement.
But doesn't the record indicate that one of her providers tried to have a conversation with her expressing concerns that the child might be autistic, and the mother was not receptive to those discussions? So there was no testing follow-up at that point.
No, I think think your provider, which was a parent coach, mentioned something to her. And she, Ms. Franklin, and this, it was a female parent coach, didn't bond well. Her second counselor, she did very well with, and the record reflects that. But the first coach, she didn't do well with. And I don't know how the court's familiarity with these cases, but
we're very familiar with these.
You get visitation, it's an hour in a room with a big glass window, and they say, play with your child. And then someone comes in and says, no, get on the floor and play with her. No, you need to do this. Don't give her snacks. You need to play with the toy. It's like, it's not, it's a fiction.
But in this case, though, the visitation had progressed to the point that she was spending time with your client at home and, in fact, overnight. And then wasn't it your client who stopped that visitation?
She did, Your Honor. And I think that you can look at that both ways. I think my client did what a reasonable, responsible parent would do. That was May of 2016. She wasn't given a psychiatrist to go get medication. She went on her own. And her doctor, he gave her some medication. She read the side effects and was like, I'm not comfortable with this. I think one of them was death. I'm not comfortable taking
that
this.
Side effect.
Yeah. So she didn't take that one. She got on a second medication. And she didn't have the opportunity to see how that worked. But when she was taking this medication, she was just, she said, well, I'm not in a good mental place today on this medication or, you know, to deal with my child. And what she do? She called the foster parent and said, hey, can you come get her? And this is, I believe, around the time that the child was determined to be autistic. The child would bite, scratch, scream, yell, follow her around. You have to pick me up. She would spit, all these type things with the foster parent testified to. I think it interesting that my client then provided, she was provided the three services I mentioned. However, the foster parent was provided individual counseling for the child, developmental pediatrician, speech therapy, occupational therapy, daily home therapy, and a babysitter when she went to her part-time job. My client was provided nothing. And that's what she went to seek. She went to seek help and say, hey, I'm having a hard time with this child. I don't have a bunch of family or anything. Can y'all help me? She went to the ESS.
Counsel, isn't the record first and foremost, this isn't the first time that she has received assistance by DSS. Wasn't it a couple of years before this that she received assistance previously and didn't follow through? Then with this particular case, when she brought the child in, which we certainly, you know, that is, you're correct, that is what we want parents to do if they're having difficulties, bring the child to get assistance. You're absolutely correct. But you talk about services. Well, services for the child obviously commenced, but there was no way to diagnose the child with autism, the child's age. I mean, a diagnosis doesn't occur till after 2 years and maybe even later. So that's really not an issue here, is it? As far as the diagnosis of the child, I mean, it ultimately came, but it was too, most, as is in the record, physicians and or experts will tell you that it takes, it's a time-sensitive diagnosis.
Yes, Your Honor. And, well, to your initial question, there was a prior investigation that was dismissed. There were no services provided in that matter. It's relevant that the child was determined to be autistic for two reasons. One, the diagnosis was after 12 months of placement. And you say, well, your client didn't remedy the issues that caused placement. Well, we just found out what some of the issues are. You can say it's all my client. You know, perhaps it's dealing with the autistic child, which I don't have one, but I understand that it's difficult and that there's training for that. And there's classes and there's all types of things to deal with an autistic child. You have to, it takes takes a lot to deal with an autistic child. And to not give her any services once it's discovered this child is autistic, doesn't make any sense to me. You can't say that these are reasonable and appropriate services and then say, oh, but your child's autistic, but don't worry about that. All you need to do is change a diaper and learn how to potty train her. It doesn't work that way.
Counsel, did your client cooperate fully with all the services that were provided by the department?
She did, Your Honor. And
so she fully cooperated?
Yes, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. And the department testified to that on appeal. She did everything that was asked of her. She went to Rising twice. She made all her visitations. She missed a couple. She didn't have presentation. I think three. But she complied with everything, met with the counselors. Anything that was asked of her, she did.
I have a note here that she refused to review the psychological report. Is that your understanding as well? With Dr. Stinnett did the psychological report and apparently wanted to review it with her, but she would not be open to do that?
Brandy Stinnett was the first parent and coach or counselor, and they did not have a good relationship.
That's right. I'm sorry. It was Dr. Anderson who did the psychological, but she didn't want to review it with Ms. Stinnett because she did not have a good relationship with her.
She did not. And some of that was, I don't know, maybe just two individuals, but from being in the case, I know that there were some things with the visitations and she felt like they just didn't meld. But the second counselor, she did great with. And even Ms. Stinnett, she did everything that was asked of her. They just didn't get along with it. But so our issues are reasonable and appropriate services. One, the 12-month deadline, which if you don't get a psychological until 7 months, and the child's not determined to be autistic until 13 months, how do you say, well, 12 months in the placement is too long for you to show that you can address whatever issues? And the issues is anxiety. She's feels uncomfortable when she's, she's nervous. Her first child, she gets nervous and she seeks help and she reaches out. She never harmed the child, no mental harm, no physical harm, did nothing at all wrong to the child, simply sought help. And because she sought help, her child was taken away. Wasn't given the opportunity, I still have a couple minutes. The other issue.
So let me remind you, you're in your rebuttal time right now.
Yes,
sir, you are. But we're happy to give for you to conclude that, and you can just lose your rebuttal or you can save it. I know we've asked you a number of questions.
One additional thing. The finding of abuse and neglect was appealed to circuit court. That finding was by a preponderance of the evidence. The standard is it has to be clear and convincing. That finding was by a preponderance of the evidence, and we believe that's a fatal flaw to the case, and therefore we ask the court to reverse it. I'd like to reserve my 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. And we will hear from the department, Ms. Towns, and we also have the guardian ad litem, Mr. Taylor, and we'll be happy to hear from you, Mr. Taylor, at the conclusion of Ms. Towns' argument.
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning. My name is Hope Towns, and I represent the Lynchburg Department of Social Services in this case. And we are asking that you affirm the decision of Lynchburg Circuit Court terminating Ms. Franklin's rights under Section 16.1-283C2. To speak to Mr. Hutcherson's last point briefly before I get into some of my arguments, as far as the preponderance of the evidence finding, believe that the statute speaks for itself, especially when a child, a termination is done under the subsection C2, that it does not matter how a child comes before the court. They can come before the court through a child media services, abuse neglect petition, or any other court action. If the court finds that those elements are met, then the finding of abuse and neglect is not an issue for this case.
Excuse me, ma'am, before you continue, so are you realize you're trying to argue that it's not relevant, but do you agree that the court made a finding stating by preponderance of the evidence as opposed to
clear and convincing? Yes, Your Honor, as far as the jurisdictional hanging by which the court had jurisdiction over this child, that this child was abused and neglected by preponderance of the evidence that started the foster care process for this child, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Your Honor. And as far as Mr. Hutcherson's arguments addressing those issues, one issue to address as far as, I believe, preserving the argument for Mr. Hutcherson, due process was only brought up when the assignments of error were drafted. In the course of the case, Mr. Hutcherson did do a motion to strike, also renewed his motion to strike. However, he only did that on the issues of whether or not reasonable or appropriate services were given to his client. And so I believe if Mr. Hutchinson had perhaps argued the ends of justice argument, perhaps that should be before the court. However, I do not think that as far as due process should be before the court. However, if the court is considering the reasonable and appropriate services of DSS, that Ms. Franklin did receive those from the agency. As far as the record, our record is solid on some things, I believe, that Mr. Hutcherson alluded to. There was some evidence that was not allowed into evidence considered hearsay, and that objection was sustained by the lower court judge that Mr. Hutcherson made. But I believe based on what's before the court, that can establish that the mother did come to DSS concerned that she was going to hurt her child when she was taken to a local hospital. The child was removed, the child was placed in foster care, and Ms. Franklin received services to help ascertain if she could have that child returned to her home. And in the course of that case, starting in May, she did receive parenting and one-on-one counseling from Ms. Brandy Sinnott, who was a licensed professional counselor. At Ms. Franklin's request, that relationship was ended, I want to say December the 18th, but at least by mid-December of 2016. And one of the issues mentioned medication. Medication is something the DSS cannot force services on the unwilling parent. And that was something that was attempted to be addressed several times. The worker, Ms. Campbell, testified that she had spoken to the mother, and the mother did go to Horizon. Horizon at that time did not recommend any medication. However, recommended one-on-one counseling, which she was receiving. It was brought up again later by Ms. Campbell, and Ms. Franklin did go to Horizon Behavioral Health, which is our local CSD, Community Services Board organization, and sounded like she got a prescription at that time. However, I think that even knowing those facts, one of the things that really limits this case is, unfortunately, Ms. Franklin chose not to testify in this case to give the court any information about anything going on in the progress. The court had before it what DSS had, which was actually, even given the services and some of the hiccups in the beginning, after she received services from Mr. Jones, who gave her individual counseling and parenting, they were able to transition the visits to the mother's home initially for 2 hours on Fridays, and then that went to unsupervised, and the long-term hope was to go to weekends unsupervised. And that Mother's Day weekend of 2016, on that Saturday, Ms. Franklin called the foster mother and asked her to come get the child. Due to, as Mr. Hutchinson characterized, Ms. Franklin has always used the term of being overwhelmed and the psychological dilute or having anxiety issues. And even with that issue of the Mother's Day weekend, visitation still continued and actually continued to the point of the second weekend in June, attempting to have Ms. Franklin do another overnight visitation, and at that time she requested the child not even come to her home due to her concerns. And really, in the record, as far as Ms. Franklin's concerns, there never really ever able to be fully articulated. The terms overwhelmed are used frequently to describe how she feels. And as far as medication, I believe Mr. Jones and Mr. Jones probably more specifically talked to some of the issues she had with taking, I believe, a suggested prescription. She decided not to take that. However, there's nothing on the record to say if that medication was helpful or could be helpful. And even Dr. Anderson did testify that there's no guarantee with medications that perhaps some of the issues that brought the child into care could be alleviated. But as far as the services that were given to Ms. Franklin, again, speaking to the court and giving an autistic child, the services given to Ms. Franklin and her daughter really speak to that child in particular. And as far as even some of the characteristics that this child had, even Mr. Jones said some of the hallmarks of autism are standoffishness, not being clingy. However, this was a young child that wanted to be held by their mother, wanted to interact with her and engage her. And so it'd be difficult to say that if DSS gave services that what we think should be a autistic child, perhaps that would have been successful. DSS made attempts to give services that would help Ms. Franklin or her child, given the circumstances that DSS has understood was before them at the time. As far as the 12-month issue, both the court and the order are very clear that that time beyond 12 months was considered. By the time we came to circuit court, it had been 19 months. And I believe, I think it's on the appendix on page 204, Judge Burnett even speaks to that he understands that that the 12 months, he's not limited by that, and he was not going to, he understood he wasn't going to step into that. I think he called it a trap or stuff, but he knew that he wasn't limited by that. And even in the order, there is a section in the order that it's clear that the court considered all of the efforts up until the day of that trial, which was November the 9th, 2016. So as far as what was before the court, where we are now as far as the standard of evidence, given the, looking at the evidence in the light of the prevailing party, it really feels like a sufficiency of the evidence issue before the court. As far as the services given Ms. Franklin, they were reasonable and appropriate. Parenting, counseling, psychological, regular visitation to reunify her with her child. And even the foster mother testified at one point that that the mother still actually was having access to the child at the time of the hearing. And interestingly enough that while she did have access to the child, she was not attending the child's doctor's appointments or medical appointments, which could be seen as important if a child was to come back into your home with special needs and issues, that you want to be on top of those issues and address them. But if there are no other questions, I'd ask that the court affirm Lynchburg Circuit Court's decision as to this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. And does the guardian at Leiden have any statements? We have about 2 minutes remaining on Ms. Towns' time.
I can move. Thank you, Your Honor. I am the guardian at Leiden for the child in this matter. I was the court-appointed guardian at Leiden from the time this case started. In my letter to you all of May 8th of this year, I indicated that I support the position of the Lynchburg Department of Social Services, and today I'm here for you to say I continue to support that position. I think it is the right decision, looking at the best interest of the child in this case. The child is now 4 years old. She was taken into custody when she was a little over two. It's correct that she was brought, there was a call by the mother to the Lynchburg Department of Social Services. mother was stroking. And DSS responded. The child was eventually removed, and we went through the process that is mandated as we move toward either returning the child home or termination, which unfortunately is the case here, but I don't believe that the court really had any other option in looking at what happened. There were two hearings that I think are important. The first was the June 30th hearing where the Lynchburg Department of Social Services, where the Lynchburg J&D Court terminated the parental rights. The mother appealed. That hearing was a little over a year, year and 2 months, 3 months since the child was taken into custody. And I think more importantly, the Lynchburg Circuit Court hearing, which was on November 9th. 2016, and as counsel for DSS has noted, that was 19 months after the child was taken into custody. That's a long time for a young child to be in foster care. What makes this case somewhat unique is you have a mother who actually contacts DSS. I've been practicing for a good long time. I can't ever remember a case like that happening. But by all the evidence that came out, this was a mother who was struggling. I'm grateful that she did that. But that then opened the door to looking at a number of issues that were going on with her. And as we went through this, I was very much interested in the services that were being provided to her. The services provided to her and the services provided to the child are entirely different. But the services provided to her were important. This was first-time mother. The provision of parental education services, certainly a good idea. Based on what we had heard, there was certainly a need for individual counseling and therapy. And she had actually two shots at that. One was initially with Ms. Stinnett, and then with a second counselor that came along. Psychological evaluation, I think, is very telling. I'm not quite sure that, really, based on her emotional makeup, that she was ever going to be able to get to the point where she could resolve the issues that brought this child into care. And visitation was provided. And I think that was a good list of services that were provided. What she did with those services, I think, is sort of she had certain positive things that she did, but there were negative things that she did. And ultimately, at the end, what we found was that she was not in a position to resume taking care of this child after 19 months. Certainly, this child couldn't be left hanging in limbo. By that time, 19 months after, was in a good, safe environment with a good foster mom who was a potential adoptive parent. Not that that's absolutely critical, but at least she was in a very, very safe situation. She was being provided all the services that she should be provided, which included a number of different things. When we had the hearing in Lynchburg Circuit Court, the one thing that bothered me particularly was we really didn't have any evidence from the woman. We had objections as to what the Department of Social Services was putting on, but the mother didn't testify. And I think that was not very helpful to the court. Maybe she had nothing to testify to, but looking at it from the standpoint of the best interest of the child, she wasn't necessarily giving me as her guardian ad litem a lot of information that would be helpful. So I agree with the Lynchburg Department of Social Services position and ask you to affirm the Lynchburg Circuit Court.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Mr. Hutcherson, you have some remaining time for your rebuttal, sir.
Thank you. just want to touch on a couple of things the department mentioned. In the department, we're in a tough position. They felt like something was wrong, didn't know what it was.
got an evaluation about 8 months out after placement. No prescription for medication, no winter arise, and they said, you don't need any medication. Everyone says, you don't need medication. No drug abuse, no substance abuse, no physical abuse, no mental abuse. Did nothing wrong to the child. Went to seek help when she was feeling overwhelmed. The department, to their credit, in J&D court, asked the court on June 10th, said, Judge, she's got the new medication. We'll ask the court to give her some more time, see how this medication works, and let us come back. The court said, no, I can't do it. It's been 12 months. Can't do it. Write me another foster care plan. Come back June 30th, and that day they did the termination. The department wanted to see how the medication worked. They wanted Ms. Franklin to succeed. She wasn't given the opportunity. This isn't a baseball game. This isn't a puppy. You got to clean up around the puppy, we got to take it from you. This is her child. This is her daughter. And you can't put a 12 month, not even 12 months, if you say the evaluation was done 8 months in, a shorter period of time, autistic in May of 16, termination in June of 16. She wasn't given the opportunity to show that she could succeed and address whatever issues were causing the concern. She wasn't given the chance. That's all she's asking for, the chance to be a mother to her child. That's all she's asking for. The law respects the parent-child relationship. Says it's essential. You can't terminate it based upon some arbitrary 12-month period. It doesn't really start in 12 months. It starts 8 months when you get evaluation, but it may start in 11 months when you finally get medication. It's not fair. It violates your due process rights. Her rights were violated. We're asking the court to reverse it. If she doesn't succeed, she doesn't. But give her the opportunity, and I think the law requires her to have the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. We will come down and recounsel.